I don't mean to cut anybody off. I'm sorry, but the time is of the essence. We beat this horse to death in the PNB. I would like to get to the continue with the audit, please. So we were on page, we were up to page 15. Now, does anybody have any questions? If not, I do. And I hope we're not mistaken. I hear somebody's voice. Was it Arlene's voice? Whose voice is that?
Yeah. That was Arlene. You're breaking up. At least I'm having trouble hearing you.
You know what happened? My battery is dying, and I'm charging it. Campbell, can I finish my sentence, please?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like to, does anybody have any questions on page 15?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
On your concentration of risk, I don't understand why we have monies in excess of the FDIC insured limits. $61,000 are in an account somewhere. Apparently, it's a bank account or something over the limit.
The FDIC limits are $250,000 per financial institution. It doesn't matter how many accounts they're in. So, for example, if you have five accounts,
I know that.
Oh, okay.
But why are we $61,000 over?
The organization normally has been much further over than the $61,484. That's the account balances as of September 30th. They're insured up to $250,000, so that would be $311,484.
Do you know what bank that is?
Not off the top of my head. If you look,
is that Wells Fargo by chance?
Probably. I'd have to look at the bank accounts, and I'd have to. If you go to the cash. But you can't really tell without going bank by bank.
I'm wondering if that's part of what they're requiring in order for our line or something. Other than if that's a requirement of a bank, I don't know why we're $61,000 over the insured limit. I mean, that just seems to me. Arlene, do you know why that is?
I don't know why that is. We do try to keep an eye on that, but we do have a number of bank accounts at the same national bank, but at different stations, and those accounts fluctuate quite a bit, and so they may here and there be over for a few days, but they usually the total isn't over for any great period of time.
I do know that there's been recent conversations between LeVar and a banker to manage the funds in such a way that there would be no excess over the FDIC insured limits. So those conversations have been taking place.
There've been hundreds of banks that have gone, bit the dust in recent years, and so
banks also provide excess FDIC coverage insurance. You pay a little extra for it, but I don't think that's necessary. Pacific is actually very close to being under the limits. It just has to be managed so that they're not over.
The next payroll, Campbell, don't worry. I have to make a joke of it because now I'm getting tight, so I'm getting punchy. We'll be under for the next payroll. Right, Arlene?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I have a question, so I call it myself. Number 9, for the lease commitment, shouldn't that be over 5 years,
Yes, we don't have the breakout on the fifth year. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right. So that will be fixed. Beautiful. I don't have anything on page 16. Does anybody have anything on 16? Anything on 17?
Yes, I have a quick question. The annual trust administrative costs, who are they being paid to? Do you know?
What page is that, Campbell? What
under
page?
Item 11, note
what
11.
Page 16, okay.
I'm wondering who the annual trust administration. I beg your pardon?
At least one part of that goes to the San Francisco Foundation.
Okay. And the market value, are we talking about the funds that were identified previously under the restricted net assets? Are any of those identified in this market value of $119,778?
No, these are being held by the Lutz Charitable Remainder Trust. They will be turned over to Pacific ICE at the end of the 20-year term, which I believe is up very soon. It was since December 1990. So it's now up as of December 2010. It wasn't up as of the end of the report, as of the end of the fiscal year end. But those assets can now be turned over to the to Pacifica.
Okay.
Whatever the fair market value is as of the date, the 20-year anniversary date.
Okay, great.
Okay, maybe move. 10. On page 17, I don't have anything there. On 18, I have something.
If I may raise a question on 17,
okay.
This you are identifying in the ability in note 19, the ability to continue as a going concern, and here we have on 17. Our exposure, which a right-wing newsletter also pointed out in terms of our exposure to Corporation for Public Broadcasting, was the concern about CPB and the issue, what could have been a concern about having contingency plan regarding cuts come after the September 30th timeframe.
That was not part of the going concern note. It didn't. On top of the conditions and events giving rise to the going concern issue, on top of those conditions and events, we also have the question mark concerning CPB funding. That question mark has been recently raised, but it doesn't change this report. It was still in effect for the following year, for September 30th, 2011, so there's no disclosure for that. If there had been a definite change, it could be footnoted, but it's still pending. So I don't know that it would be a footnote disclosure at this point, and we certainly don't need an additional question mark to come up with footnote number 19. We have enough for that footnote already.
Right. Other question I have would be with regard to SCA income. It seems to me as though the sidebands, it seems to me as though that was at one time identified with each respective station, and I don't know that it's – maybe I overlooked it here to being identified with the stations – here, but would it be possible to get that kind of a breakout?
For the SCA income?
Yes.
Let's see if we have it on the let me look at the supplemental information. Just a minute.
This is Bill. Can I make a comment on that, too, while you're looking?
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, yeah, I know this is a relatively small amount of money, but it's been an issue at KPFT for a long time, too, because the station has to pay for the transmitter and the equipment and keeping it operating, but we don't get the income. And we also don't get control over who gets the SCA contracts, which there's some people that are unhappy with the current user of that. So, but...
Yeah,
so it would be nice to know what the income is and if it's supposed to go to the individual stations or just Pacific as a whole.
It is listed as a national division income on page 21. You'll see it's subchannel income as a separate line item, and the total is under national division.
Is it possible to break it out? I mean, yeah.
That really goes to the policy of the organization. That's not an audit issue.
The policy has changed, and I don't recall when the policy changed at all, and I think that it was listed under the individual stations at one time.
No, it's been like this a long time, I think.
No, it's always gone to the national office. They've always claimed that money.
Board action.
Mm-hmm. James, correct. It always goes to the national office. My memory serves me correctly.
Well, I think that it, you know, from what you're saying, Bill, I share that sentiment as to I've heard about what the income most recently was pertaining to WPFW, and it didn't seem like it was something that, you know, had been negotiated too well for the trouble that it's caused.
Yeah.
Okay. May we move, folks? Please say yes.
Okay.
Russ,
yes.
Okay. On page 18, I had one cosmetic thing here. It should be where you have the $5 million, Russ. I think that was.
Nope. We're revising that to the actual number, $5,087,600, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the word dollars should be in there, right? When the 5 million is spelled out, so we don't think it's 5 million rupees or any other currency.
Well,
there is a dollar sign there,
Nia.
Yes.
In the parentheses, but not outside of the parentheses.
That's correct. So it should be a few $1 million, and in parentheses you put the.
Well, then I think I'll just dispense with the language, and we'll just delete the words 5 million.
It's a minor thing. Now,
I think it's a petty comment, but I'll be glad to incorporate it. I'm just going to delete the words 5 million, so it'll say totaling over, and I'll list the actual number.
And then you've got another one that's rather curious, two lines down where the dollar sign is outside of the parentheses.
Did I finish? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Did you hear that, Ross?
The question mark about the 738?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We put the dollar sign outside on purpose because that's a negative number.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But that wasn't
a deficit of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although management, that is that the penultimate sentence or the last sentence? Let's say the last. Although management has taken recent actions to increase revenues and reduce expenses, I'm trying to think what those are.
Arlene, are you still on the call?
I'm still on the call. Yes, I've taken considerable action at KPFA to reduce expenses. I worked with WPFW, but I have to say that they initiated a lot of it on their own. We've been working with WBAI on reduction of expenses. That was a little tougher because the two rent issues are the biggest problem there. But we've been working with them also on increasing revenues, and there have been several things put in place to do that. I've been working with the staff at KPFK over some not quite as broad issues, even though they're in better financial shape, but still making sure that they continue to operate, you know, with expenses less than revenues. That's one of the things that we've been working at every station to make sure happens and to get as close to that as we possibly can. Let's face it, we don't have reserves to... expense spending more than we're bringing in. Not only that, we're trying to work with everybody in order to begin to pay off some of those expenses that have accrued and haven't been able to pay. And then Laverne and I will be presenting some plans at this meeting in which we have some plans in the works. We've set April 6th and 7th for a national fund drive, and we're planning to have a second two-day national fund drive this fiscal year in order to work toward paying off some of our outstanding debts.
Okay. Arlene, for Saturday morning, I think Russ doesn't have to include it in here, but you might want to have the details as to exactly what they are if asked. You know what I mean? Rather than...
We should have them in writing beforehand.
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're asking for, Nia.
You just said, based on what you just said, that you've been working with them, you know, on expenses.
Oh, it'll be in my, that most of that, some of that will be in my report and some of it will be in Laverne's report.
Okay. But I know some directors will ask you exactly what the things are. So just, okay.
What the dates are? Dates of what?
Okay, so let's go to C. Not what page 19. Does anybody have anything on page 18? Can I move to 19? Is anybody awake? Milo?
Yeah, on 18.
I heard two voices. I didn't hear.
You asked about questions on page 18?
Yes.
I was rather curious about the adjustments in regard to WPFW. It says the accounts payable was overstated. That's $168,000.
Right. Those were temporarily restricted funds, which have been reclassed back to temporarily restricted funds. That was the donation for the $200,000 for the building fund.
And that was a payable?
It was listed as a payable, like it was going to be returned to the donor, but the donor has not requested a return of funds.
Yeah, this is Bill. I didn't understand how that related to that. Those numbers in the next that followed that either. But
there was an original donation of $200,000 by one individual donor for the building fund at WPFW.
Okay.
And the prior auditor had reclassified $168,689 to accounts payable on the grounds that they could not confirm that the donor was going to not request the money back. A year has passed. The donor has not requested a return of the funds, so there's no reason to believe that that's a payable to the donor.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we move right along? Number 19.
One other thing. The 167-152 is the another adjustment for that. Complimentary adjustment?
The 167-152 is a net of two entries. One entry is $168,689. The other entry was $1,536, which was premium expense that had not been accrued in the prior year.
Okay. I'd like to move, please, to page 19. Now, I didn't see PRA on here.
It's been combined into the national division.
So they have their own budget?
It had been... it had been part of the national unit for during all of the audits that we had done in the past. It had been broken out by the former auditor, and then we put it back as a consolidated national division. It also, you know, is easier to do it in terms of the report, and it's less audit work involved. You know, you did have an audit last year that was over $140,000. We managed to bring this audit in at around $75,000, so we've saved the network a considerable amount of audit expense. If it's worth the expense, it can be broken out. It does involve extra work.
I was just curious because it was broken out. I guess that would have to be a board decision, but this is already done. But that would just be extra, and to also have the comparison.
You can easily get that report off the GL, from National.
Yeah.
It seemed as though it was naturally a different thing because the budget comes up separately in the National Finance Committee, or at least it used to.
For internal reporting purposes, we're certainly not eliminating that division. We're certainly not eliminating that GL. It's no change to the internal reporting. Mm-hmm. Of the organization. It's a change to the audit report to simplify the audit report.
Would that, another question, in your experience, would that impact the PRA's ability to solicit grant funding independently?
It hasn't in the past. We delivered, I think, 5 years of audit reports without that breakout. It was never requested before.
Okay. I know that they've been, you know, the past couple of years, I know, very much interested in seeking, you know, other funding, and I didn't know if them not being able to be identified as a separate division would be a problem for that.
I don't think so, Campbell.
Okay.
Okay. So can we move on to the middle pages, number 20? Page 20? I don't know, 50. But I have a question. For the current liabilities, I'm going to go to WBAI. The interdivisional payables for BAI is, what is that, $1.6 million? And current payables, those must be paid back within a year, right, Ross? Are BAI going to pay back within a year? I don't think so. How? It almost seems unrealistic to put that recurrent payables. I don't know. Am I wrong on that?
Keep the faith in you.
Excuse me, Chair.
Bill.
Excuse me, Nia.
Yeah.
James. I was just wondering. I'm going to have to sign off, and I was wondering if there was anything else that Ross wanted to bring to our attention that hadn't been covered already.
Well, my focus was going to be on the going concern note, which we did discuss. If there's any other questions on it, I'll be glad to address those. That is the key factor, I would say, in this audit report.
I agree.
Yep. Okay, thanks so much, Jane, and you take care. I'm sure I'll be
Madam Chair, if I may be on the stack for a moment.
And Bill.
Yeah, but you can rush to it. Should that be that line left?
I'm sorry? It is a current item. It doesn't mean it's going to actually get cleared in the current year. But if you recall, the reason for that breakout was to delineate between, the basically the items which should be cleared within the current year versus the old items that really went back to the year 2001 or 2002 that would require really board action in order to clear those items because of the past. So that was the purpose of the breakout between the current and the long-term portions of interdivisional payables and receivables to show the reader the current amounts that should be cleared within the current year versus the old long-term amounts that really don't change from year to year and unless there's some sort of a board resolution to clear those items. So that's the purpose behind those. And, yes, those are current items. If they don't clear within the year, then the station doesn't have the ability to clear them. But it was for payroll. It was for current items.
Now, what's the difference between the long-term? The long-term amount is 2362.
That's essentially what was there many years ago. We could combine them and not show a current versus long-term, which is what was done in the previous audit report. It's fine with me. There's certainly no gap issue here because we're not doing gap at the divisional level. These are interdivisional issues. So it's really a choice of how you want to present it, but I thought it would be more useful to the organization to show what are the more relevant, actionable numbers versus the older numbers that are not going to really change.
Okay.
I have to agree with you, Ross.
Does Bill add a question on that, too?
Okay. I understood. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Well, yeah, that $1.6 million interdivisional payable from WBAI or to WBAI, that's mostly central services fees that are not paid, I assume, right, to the national office?
It's either central services or it's funds that have been provided on WBAI's behalf, mainly from national, of course, but it could have been indirectly through another station as well to cover WBAI's budget.
Okay, and then also in the same column on non-current liabilities, deferred rent liability for WBII, $654,000. That's just the fiscal year, this year's fiscal year's part of it?
What that is really the tower. The tower has a lot of acceleration rent in, and it's a very long, I think it's a 15-year or something agreement. So as I was explaining before, it's just a gap mechanism to recast that lease in terms of straight-line amortization over the term of the lease, and it results in this liability. It's really a phantom liability. It will zero out over the course of the lease, and it's not a current cash item.
What I understand, but that's this is this year's portion of the difference between what we're actually paying this year versus what the amortized expense.
No, it's not this year's difference. It's the accumulated difference.
Oh, okay.
It's the accumulated difference.
Okay.
It's all of the differences. It's the amount of, let's say you're halfway into an accelerated lease. It's all of those accumulated differences for half of the lease that haven't been paid yet but are going to be caught up to in the second half of the lease. It's sort of the reverse of depreciation. It's a weird number.
Currently we're paying about $30,000 a month, I think, or something like that, right?
And it's going to go up as we go forward on that lease. And it's sort of alerting the reader that there is a future liability here, but it's not a current cash liability.
Thank you.
If I could chime in, we found that we only had half of that lease agreement. And LeVarn actually caught up and said, why are you paying this? It's way more than what the lease shows. And then we found out there was another half to it. So John Krigler is working on that with us to see if there isn't something that can be done to renegotiate or in some other way deal with that lease. It dates back to before LeVarn's or my time, and it's a horrible document.
I remember that. Thank you.
Question.
Who,
Madam Chair, it's Campbell.
Yes.
Yes.
I was wondering what, you know, I've heard about the leases being renegotiated about four times now. The what is the term on the antenna lease and on the office rent lease?
The office rent lease expires December, I'm not positive whether it's the 1st or the 31st of 2012. The antenna lease expires in 2020.
Good Lord. I think I remember that. Okay.
Any questions on this?
And that's the $654,000, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you hit the lotto, Campbell, you could help us out, okay?
Okay. Oh, matter of fact, I better look at that thing.
Okay. Any other questions? Any questions on 21? 22? Campbell, I'm moving.
Yes, I know.
23?
If I can catch us on 22 professional fees, I think earlier we had that there was an indication that these included the settlements.
Yeah. Yep.
And I noticed that the one for WPFW is at. What's that, $146,000? Do you know the main components of that?
I don't have a schedule on that handy. We are actually in the process of analyzing that now through Lynn and the general ledger, and you will get another report with this broken out for the legal settlements. If you want a specific schedule of the detailed professional fees, you'd have to go through the national office for that.
Okay. And so the professional fees are like settlement expenses, legal fees. Is there anything else? Are there consulting fees in there too?
There's the audit fees are in there from the previous audit.
Audit fees?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would be in the national office, right? Or is that broken out by division?
No, that would be a national.
Okay. So that looks like it's only – what is that? Okay, wait a minute. I'm following the lines incorrectly here. Okay, it's 162 is the one for WPFW, right? I think
– That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
162521.
Right, right. Okay, I wasn't following the line correctly. And so 337 includes the audit for last year, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so that's my, I think
Hello,
that's
I'm
my
back.
Last question.
I had to take a phone call from my wife, but now I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Ross's wife is looking for him, so now that she's
wondering where I am, yes.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
You want to keep Ross's wife?
She lets you stay out this late, huh?
Not usually.
Okay, what's your advice? Any questions? 24? 25? I don't have any, although I went through them. At warp speed late this evening, but that doesn't mean maybe on Saturday I might not have any, but I don't have any.
I would have one thing overall, Madam Chair, that I think it would be rather helpful for us to have some information on. I noticed that, $200,000 or $300,000 are on community expenses, and then we have only revenues of $500,000, 503, I believe it was. I'm just recalling off the top of my head now. And these numbers, unfortunately, are buried away from each other. And as I could recall, I think we have some breakouts of fund development and whatnot like that. Would there be a way of putting that together so that we could see what's happening in each of our divisions with regard to how well we're doing on these community-type development projects, you know, in terms of how much they're costing us versus how much we're making off of them? Because they only seem like we're making, what, 40% or something.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point, Campbell. That's sort of an awkwardness in this report. You've got the community event revenue on one page, the community event expenses on another, and also the community event expenses distort a little bit the total amount of fundraising expenses. So it looks like you're spending more on fundraising than you really are. So I do agree with that comment. But I don't know. We used to address it by breaking out community event expense as a separate line item on the statement of activities so it didn't go under fundraising and the reader could
follow it
and match it up against the revenue more easily on the same page. But you can, if you go to page 21, you see the community events by division. And then if you go to page 22, you'll see community events by division as an expense.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sort of have to manually compare those two pages and squeeze out, you know, how each division did with its community events. For example, KPFA did 205 revenue, and KPFA did 102 expense. So that's pretty good. WPFW, see, it's $52,000 on the expense side, and on the revenue side, well, that doesn't make any sense. Hold on.
No, it sounds like the duck race to me. We took a bath on that.
Yeah, that's it was negative for WPFW.
Yeah. Which is the kind of thing that, you know, I'm just very concerned that we, you know, didn't have the kind of engagements that would have been helpful, I think, to be able to, you know, do these things more effectively. Okay.
All righty.
That was it. I'm done.
Okay.
Stick me with a fork.
Okay. Ross, I want to
sorry, my call had dropped, but I'm back.
Okay, Ernie.
All right. I would like to commend the audit committee.
Is there no more
asking? Yes.
Let Ross finish. Everybody get a turn to speak. Go ahead, Ross. Say what you're saying.
All right. I'm commending the committee for asking very pointed and detailed questions. I don't think I've ever had this detailed of a phone call concerning the audit report. Of course, there was a lot of ground to cover, and there were some very serious issues involved in both the management comments and the audit report. I have noted each comment where I said that there would be a revision, for example, on page 5 to break out legal settlements, on page 6 to note the paid interest on the cash flow, and
The
explanatory comment on page 12,
yeah.
And getting back to you, Nia, on your question concerning the building fund amount, why it was released, and the fifth year of the lease commitment breakout, which we'll put into the final report, and the revision to the final footnote, just using the dollar figure instead of writing out the term $5 million.
And the management letter.
I'm sorry?
And there were some updates in the management letter, I believe, just for clarification.
Yeah,
like
there
was a repeat comment.
Right. Under the one of the national office bulletins, there will be a parenthetical repeat comment list noted. I did make notes there. I believe that was it. There might have been something else. Let's see here. Bank signature cards, repeat comment for WBAI.
Yeah.
And a typo on page 3 for the word and.
You got loans.
Investment explanation.
Yes, I noted that already. That page will have an explanatory comment. And that was it.
Well, Ross, I know in 2008, I guess you weren't with us because then we got a new auditor. By the time the next audit started, you had finished up that audit, and then that was it. So that's what. But thank you very much. I want to thank Arlene for being here. I'm sorry that LaVarne wasn't here because she would be in a better position to answer a lot of these questions.
Over?
I'm sorry?
Our question over?
Oh, do you have a question, Dutch? No.
Yeah, I heard all these summaries, but no one asking for final questions. Can I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if this is for Ross or Arlene, but I notice on the very last page there's a line, almost the very last line. It says website income, and I noticed that PFA and BAI both are generating income from their website, and the other stations aren't. Can they define what methods that we're generating income at two of our stations on the website?
I can't tell you for sure what that means because I know that KPFT has a tip jar that they're generating some income, but maybe they aren't classifying it as web income.
Well, it's $10 there.
Bill, I can clarify. I think that's listener support, but we just recently, since this fiscal year, started having web ads, advertisements for some of our small local business friends on our website.
Well, that's KPFT, right?
That's T, yes.
Yeah, there's only $10 listed for you guys.
Well, that was for last fiscal year. There'll be a little bit more this year. hopefully a lot more, but we're not very big yet.
Well, there's $91,000 at KPFA, for example. Ross, do you know what that amounts to under website income for $91,000 from one station?
I believe it was listener support that was paid through a website.
Meaning that if I'm at KPFK and people pledge $100 for a CD, and that would go just that station has it broken out under website income and we don't, is that the case?
That could be. It could just be a GL that they have set up for it.
But we don't know.
So that's through PayPal?
I would think so.
So this is all we're guessing. We don't know.
Yeah,
well,
I have to look into it.
I can speak for it in the past when the former editor was Bob Lederer, and he was quite good at promoting that. So BAI used to get around $60,000 per year.
Wow.
The premiums. I mean, he was very, very good at this. Good at that. He didn't let go, but all the premiums were up there. People could pledge via PayPal. Used properly, it is quite effective.
Well, that still doesn't clarify if that's what this line item is, and maybe it's a line item used at some stations and not others. I would recommend that we find out what it is, and if some stations are breaking out Internet income as a separate line item, they should all report the same way.
I'll put that on my things to check into, Dutch.
Thank you, Arlene. Additionally, if it is a source of income that three of the stations are not taking advantage of, we can learn from our sister stations and find out if it is a separate revenue stream. How we might be able to take advantage of that.
I think it's more a method of reporting, but I don't know that as a fact.
Thank you, Arlene.
Thank you. That's a good question. Any further questions?
This is Bill.
Yes, Bill?
Okay, Ross, you know the schedule for Saturday, right? Most of Saturday morning and first part of the afternoon is finances and audit.
I'm prepared to present on Saturday morning. That's my understanding.
Okay. I think we also tentatively have a closed session right after lunch on the Saturday afternoon on the audit report. I assume that means with you.
That's what I told him, that the morning will
be
dedicated to finance because actually that was my suggestion on the coordinating committee, to put all the finance stuff up top while Ross is still there so all these things could be addressed, and then the executive session after lunch. That's what I communicated to Ross.
I have a reservation for a 3:54 p.m. flight, so perhaps I need to change that, or do you think I can still meet that?
Well, you're on at 9 o'clock. Well, that's what I suggested in the morning, 9 to noon. So you have the updated management comment letter, updated audit. And I think could you get that to us before, Ross?
Am I expected to attend the closed session in the afternoon?
If you think it's necessary, or if the PNB directors would like you to. I think, you know, considering the looks of this thing, I think we need an executive session maybe just directors and you. I don't know.
We might change the order a little bit so that he wouldn't have to change his flight.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering if we could go into executive session either late in the morning and perhaps extend into the noon hour and then have lunch just a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I think the meeting needs to be managed tightly from 9 to noon. That's 3 hours. I mean, we spent a lot of time tonight because we went through it line by line and we went through it thoroughly. If Ross gets it to me, I'll get it to the directors before Saturday. They could take a look at it and we should do it quickly. I would hope, because what do you think, Ross?
Well, I think we can have these revisions out to you tomorrow. That's not a problem.
Okay, and when you get it to me, then I will need to peruse it. So I should be able to get it out by Wednesday, and then folks should have it.
Bill,
go ahead.
We'll just let everybody know there is a draft agenda for the PNB meeting at pacifica.org. So, you know, if you need to look at it, it's there. You have to click on the read more to get the details. But.
Well, that does not mean that we can't change it. It's,
sure, right, it, right. Yeah.
So it, if it necessitates that, then and I don't think that should be an issue. Okay. Thanks, and I guess that's all we have to do right now. We can't approve anything because we have quite a few updates and follow-ups and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really approved, you know, Ross. I don't know, Ross, I think that we're, well, in a sense, I guess we are sort of approving it, right?
Yeah. Accepting it or not accepting it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Madam Chair, are we adjourned?
So right now, we can't accept it until those updates have been made, so then it will be up to the PNB. Correct? Is everybody in agreement with that?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair?
Yes, Dutch?
I'm sorry, if we've all agreed on these changes to be made, is it not possible to accept the report pending changes and call it accepted?
If that's the will of the body, is that a motion, Dutch?
I'd like to make a motion to rely on Ross to interpret and implement the changes as we've directed him on this meeting and move to approve the report.
Okay. Is there any objection to Dutch's motion?
I think that there were some areas that, you know, there may be one thing I was going to do is prepare minutes from the meeting. And so I think that it would be useful for, you know, that to be included in there. So it may be that we're a little bit, you know, a little bit too early in terms of approval.
Well, I think we can approve the minutes as a separate issue. The report itself, Ross can complete, and the minutes can be a standalone document, don't you think?
It's not a standalone document. They're premised on what was being stated with regard to the audit report.
But the audit report should be a separate document from the minutes that report on.
It's a separate document, yes. But as to whether it will be inclusive of everything that was noted, you know, in the minutes, that's the question that we're getting at. What you're suggesting, Dutch, I think will take it totally out of the hands of the committee, And, you know, there may be a couple things that, for whatever reason, you know, Ross may not have gotten.
But it sounds as though if we're not scheduled to meet again before the PNB Directors Assembly, correct? This committee is not scheduled to meet again for approval of anything between now and the PNB meeting.
No, it's almost midnight, and we are not. It's 11:30 and on the East Coast. So Campbell is the secretary. I hear what Campbell is saying. Let me just ask, Ross, what do you think in here right now?
Well, I've covered the changes I'm going to make. I think the only thing that could be ambiguous would be, Campbell, you wanted an explanatory comment concerning the investments. I haven't, you know, drafted that yet, but it would be basically a one sentence explaining it. And Nia, you wanted the fifth-year lease commitment, which we might not have that information for tomorrow, but it's just a simple matter of calculating a number and getting the information. So I don't see anything that was raised by the committee that
much of a
would be an issue. I mean, these are some typos. These are some revisions that will be made to the report, but I don't see. It's very common for me to go to a board meeting, and for them to say change this one thing or change that thing, and that's the end of the board meeting, and those things are changed and the report is issued. That's pretty common, unless there's some substantive disagreement here. I don't see why it could.
I just have a concern. Do you think you'll be able to get all of that information from LeVarne tomorrow about the building fund, about the line of credit, to get all of that by tomorrow to update the report, get it, and then get it to me?
The only thing I don't think I will have tomorrow, and that would be the breakout of the fifth-year lease commitment, because we may not have that information broken down for that year. That would be the only item that I'm aware of that we might not be able to have for tomorrow.
What about the legal fees on the settlement?
I think we can get that.
Okay. Well, it's up to the committee. So should I vote on this, or what are people thinking?
If we don't pass this report, if we don't approve it, you know, what's the downside of that? It goes to the PNB without us having an approved report to send to them?
No. If we don't accept it after the changes are made, when we get to the PNB, then the PNB accepts it or rejects it.
Well, here's the question. When are we going to have an opportunity to accept the report? Because we're not scheduled for another meeting, are we? Another meeting of this committee?
No. If we don't accept it, then that's how I would have to report to the PNB that the committee did not accept it.
That it reviewed it. I mean, that would be, you know, I think the important thing is that it was reviewed and, you know, some adjustments were made.
Yes, Bill.
And if there's anything that's missing that's in the minutes and whatnot, you know, then that would be identified. But I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, it's not like it's going to go in there with a black ball or something.
Okay. Nobody. Let's just not go there with what I'm trying to say. Let me just stop. What we can say is that we reviewed it, but we didn't have time to accept the changes. There's nothing black being done anywhere, Campbell. It's just this is the reality of the situation. Actually, you're the one who's raising this.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, we can say that we reviewed it, but we didn't have time to accept it because we won't be meeting again and so forth and so on. I can find a way to nuance it.
That sounds good.
This is Leslie. May I ask a question? Hello?
I hear you, Leslie.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, will the I was just wondering if will the PNB be inclined to take the lack of a vote from this committee as a reason to not accept the audit?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, generally, we do go ahead and present an audit, an approved audit, to the PNB, and I would just wonder if there'd be questions raised if we don't do that. Or will it pass, will it be passed by the PNB with less distress if it comes with a recommendation from this committee? And I don't know the answers to those. I'm just asking. I'm not making assumptions here.
Let's see. I'm just trying to go over. Are the changes material? Are they that significant, what we need to change for us not to accept it?
I would suggest saying that it was accepted pending changes, recommended changes.
Yeah. How is that, Kemba? Because they're not...
That sounds fine.
Yeah, they're not that significant.
Okay.
This is Madam Chair.
Yes, Dutch?
So I'd love to... I mean, I think that fits the motion that I made, that I was moving that we accept this report as a committee, including the changes that we've requested Ross to make.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. But we were just trying to work through Kemba's concerns.
Okay, that's fine.
Probably would say
that the language we seem to have landed on at Arlene's suggestion is virtually identical to where we started, so maybe we landed in a good place.
Yes.
Okay.
Dutch, could you kindly email that to me, please?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm assuming you want me to type it out and email it before we put it for a vote. Is that right?
No, I trust you. I've been trusting you all year, so that's fine.
Are we going to vote on it, or is it just moved?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask for unanimous consent. I think everybody can be satisfied. So I guess
without objection.
Exactly. So unanimous consent. Okay, everyone?
Okay.
Okay. Brian,
move adjournment.
If you're listening, Campbell, 1 second, please, Campbell. Brian, if you're listening, please don't hang up. Brian, okay, great. Can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
I will second
with the comment that it has been an honor and a privilege to serve on this committee, and I'll miss you all.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie, and it's likewise having
thanks
to
Leslie.
And I will second Leslie's statement.
And thanks for Arlene for always hanging in there with us. I mean, thank you, Arlene. That is...
Yes, thank you, Arlene.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Ross.
Well, let me just add one thing, and that is that I talked to Laverne, and we've been dealing with just problem after problem after problem, and the biggest issue has been not having managers. And so I think now we can begin to tackle some of these issues that are raised in earnest. And I definitely plan to. As soon as we're both back in the office, we've set aside one weekend day to come in and put together a list of priorities and begin checking them off.
Good to hear.
Okay.
Good.
Good to hear.
Okay. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ross. I'll see you in Houston.
I'll see you in Houston.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, so everybody.
Good night.
Everybody that's coming.
Good night.
Good night.